Thank you very much. We appreciate having the opportunity to talk about our pilot project that was done through ACOG. Before I start, I just want to acknowledge my co-authors. Sarah Patterson Carroll, who's in the front row there, worked hard on this study, and Deborah Hawks as well. I also want to acknowledge the funders of the study, CDC and ESTO. And I have no relationships to disclose. This study was done with a lot of interest by ACOG. ACOG, for those of you that don't know, you've already heard ACOG mentioned a couple times, but it's the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And they've taken a real interest in the last several years in immunization. So this study is another effort by the immunization division, where Sarah and Valerie in the front row work, to try to keep members apprised of the latest recommendations that are being recommended for OBGYNs. ACOG is a medical specialty society where 95% of board-certified OBGYNs are members. And almost half of preventive health visits are done by OBGYNs for women over 18. That's a large number. And also about 85% of deliveries are attended by OBGYNs. This project was part of a larger project funded by CDC through ASTO that had a similar type of a focus to this pilot project. But it looked at identifying and addressing barriers to immunizations, and ASTO on the project with some other activities and other partners disseminated ACOG resources on influenza vaccination. So during this period of the funding, we came up with an idea for a pilot project where we would select four state health departments to review cases of maternal flu during pregnancy where a hospitalization resulted, and try to come up with recommendations using a model called FEMR, which is Fetal and Infant Mortality Review, which is a very useful model to look at systems change. And I'll explain a little bit about that in a moment. And we called the program the Maternal Influenza Review Program, or MIRP. So, why is this a public health problem? Partly because pregnant women can be much more severely affected by flu compared to the general population. They can become very ill and even die much more likely than the general population. And there's an increased severity of flu, we think, because it's related possibly to some physiological changes in pregnancy. It could be related to increased heart rate, oxygen consumption, decreased lung capacity, that sort of thing. And finally, it can also affect infant outcomes. There's been noted increased rates of fetal death and prematurity in some studies. And also want to mention it's perfectly safe and really highly recommended for pregnant women to get flu shots. There's been no evidence to support otherwise. Just a little bit about flu rates, immunization rates among pregnant women. Many pregnant women remain unvaccinated despite recommendations by their providers and are hospitalized each year with influenza and complications that come from influenza. So we're trying to prevent that. So looking at 2014 to 15 median overall rates for seasonal influenza vaccination coverage, it was only about half of pregnant women, about 50%, got the vaccine during their pregnancy. And just the recommendation, both ACOG and CDC recommend influenza vaccination for women who will be pregnant during the flu season. So a description of our pilot project. The project used what's called the Fetal and Infant Mortality Review methodology, which I'm going to show you in the next slide. We selected four states which each reviewed approximately 15 cases of pregnant women who had been hospitalized with flu during a specific one-year period between 2012 and 2013. It was a, the states did a retrospective review of quantitative and qualitative data to try to get as much data as we could on each woman using chart abstraction and maternal interview. And we developed a training guide for the state abstractors and also a maternal interview form. And we took what had already been developed and we added specific immunization questions to the list of things that the abstractors would get while they abstracted the charts. So the goal was to identify potentially preventable systems and educational barriers resulting in hospitalization of pregnant women due to influenza and make recommendations for improvement. I don't know, has anybody ever heard of the FEMR methodology? Oh, that's great to see. Good. Well, FEMR is a wonderful qualitative source of data where it really informs, a lot of times it's used, most of the time FEMRs use it at the local level with communities. And it tries to collect information both from data but also from what we call maternal interview, where an interview goes out and actually interviews the mother to find out, you know, what happened. And frequently there'll be discrepancies between the chart information and the maternal interview, but also it really is very helpful to get maternal interview in terms of information in terms of the mother's own words. So this is what we call the cycle of improvement. This is the model of FEMR with data collection, case review, and then I'll go through the whole process in the presentation. But basically after the review, the point is to come up with recommendations and then have a committee that meets that tries to implement those recommendations. So that's kind of the heart of the FEMR model. So where did we find these four states at and how did we select them? I would say it's sort of a two-step process. One was we looked at states that had the highest rates of women during this period who were hospitalized for flu during pregnancy. And then we looked at their ability to participate in this project and have the capacity of either epidemiologists or MPH students or whoever, you know, they might have to pull a lot of chart information, which, as many of you know, is very time intensive, and we weren't offering, you know, huge amounts of money, but we did give each of them a small grant to implement the project so that this was not additional cost to each state health department. So we picked four states, the Colorado Department of Public Health, the Minnesota Department of Health, New York State Department of Health, and the Rhode Island Department of Health. Our protocol was first to have a definition for a case. What was an influenza case? It was defined as a diagnosed case of influenza in a hospitalized pregnant woman at any stage of gestation upon discharge during the 2012-2013 flu season. Data abstraction, these are the areas that we pulled chart information on because we didn't really know what we were going to find with each case, and that's sort of the beauty, I think, of doing a pilot. You know, we're really kind of going out in an area that hadn't been studied too much. We pulled a lot of information because we didn't know what would end up being really valuable. So we pulled newborn information, prenatal, flu care, postpartum, pediatric care up to 6 months, and we had specific forms so everyone collected the information the same way. And then with the maternal interview, each state made an attempt to interview each mother that corresponded with each case, and again we had a similar form that each state would use. And one of the really important points about this process that it was modeled after FEMR is that we de-identify all the personal information so that when we talk about the cases as a committee, it's not known which hospital and which doctor and that sort of thing, and then you can really get into a nice systems discussion. So then once the materials gathered, both the case information and the maternal interview, then we pull together in each state a case review team. and each team was very multidisciplinary. It consisted of a wide variety of types of disciplines, OBGYN, data people, that sort of thing. And then each case was reviewed, and we looked at two things. We looked at trends, but we also looked at, you know, ways that it could be prevented. So we tried to pull the recommendations together, and then some summaries were made by the state, and then they submitted a final report. So we started with the numbers that you see on this slide in terms of our eligible cases. We asked each state to define their catchment area based on where they had the highest number of cases. And then within that, then we tried to get each state to be able to get complete data on each one and also a maternal interview, with the expectation that we would be asking them to review at least 15 cases per state. So you'll see the numbers there. So then we went into the data abstraction phase with the states, and they pulled the chart information. Oops. Let's see here. Okay. The abstractors basically followed the protocols that I mentioned, and then de-identified everything. And then they basically had another outline for a case summary, and that's what each member of the committee was given. And those were the people that worked together in the meeting, the case review meeting, to come up with the recommendations. So the maternal interviews were really very challenging for the states, and I think if you compared maternal interviews with FEMA 10 years ago to today, you would find it much more difficult today because of caller ID and because of not wanting, you know, people to come into your house. Particularly, some of these interviewers were males and were dealing with women that, you know, may be home all day with children. We did pretty well, but as you'll see, we didn't do as well as we hoped to. The second bullet shows that we ended up with the following numbers. Colorado had 11 maternal interviews, Rhode Island 7, Minnesota 5, and New York 12. But all states found that even though it was a lot of work, that they were very informative, and they also found discrepancies between some of their chart review information. So then we had a committee meet at least once in each state, and we left it up to the state. In some cases, the committee members came from long distances, so they only wanted to have one meeting to go through all of their cases. In others, they had more than one. And they went through each case and came up with recommendations and looked for similarities and that sort of thing. So I thought this would be an interesting slide to show. This shows how many of the cases that were reviewed had been vaccinated. There was sort of a hypothesis that, you know, many of them were not vaccinated. In some cases, almost half of them were vaccinated, but in other cases, not that many were. So, and again, the fact that it says vaccinated raises a lot of issues, too, that would take more than we have today. But, you know, we're dealing with self-report, we're dealing with chart information that may not be factual, we're dealing with very poor immunization records at times, that sort of thing. So this is the best information that we have. So I'm going to just quickly go through the recommendations as presented by the states that I think are interesting. Further training of providers to better identify influenza among pregnant women. When you think of someone having morning sickness and other symptoms of pregnancy, you know, it could be disguised as something other than flu. So this talks about additional training. Educating patients on some of the risks of flu during pregnancy, risk reduction, and provide a strong recommendation for vaccination. Urgent care clinics, I know everybody is aware, have become a very popular place to get health care, and we felt that there was some need for more training on how they manage pregnant patients with flu-like symptoms as well, and to understand some of the guidelines for administering antiviral medication to pregnant women. And then the need for better integration between primary care, OBGYN, and hospitals. Additional patient education is needed for those refusing vaccines, the need for providers to also educate about risks of not getting immunized. So not just, you know, we want you to get a flu shot and I'm giving you a strong recommendation, but, you know, here's some information about, you know, not getting it that you need to know. And we don't always think about that. Educating the patient about limiting or contact with those sick or not vaccinated. So we don't just want pregnant women to get a flu shot, but those that she's closest to in her family also need to get vaccinated or needs to keep contact at minimum. Provide more options for free flu clinics for pregnant women who may not have insurance. And then overall, working with ACOG, we came up with two level of overall recommendations for the study, and one was at the systems level and one was at the educational level. Under the systems level, inconsistent documentation of immunization recommendations. So this was primarily from the chart review. It wasn't really clear in a lot of cases whether it was recommended by the providers or not. Lack of consistency among providers in regards to infection control regulations in labor and delivery. Under education of urgent care centers and emergency room staff on the assessment and treatment of pregnant women presenting with flu symptoms. Many OBGYNs do not offer the flu vaccine in their office, and patients trust their OBGYN. They may refer patients elsewhere and increase the risk of the woman not getting vaccinated. OBGYNs need to start recommending and offering influenza vaccines if they're not already. The inability of family members to get vaccinated due to insurance coverage issues. A lot of providers are offering it to partners and parents and others, you know, either at cost or, you know, for a nominal charge because it's so important. Immunizations need to be further integrated into electronic medical records and tailored for OBGYN providers. And adult state immunization registries are underutilized, but may be a good way to document and track immunization records. So again, you know, there's a lot to be improved on the way that both patients' immunizations are recorded and how practices have a record of what immunizations have happened. And then finally, educational recommendations. Concerns over vaccine safety need to be addressed. And some of the misconceptions about influenza vaccine need to be debunked, including that the vaccine is not safe in pregnancy or it'll make me sick. Messaging needs to focus on the increased risk of severe illness and complications during pregnancy. And providers need to take time to discuss the influenza vaccine with their patients. And if the patients decline, need to have the conversation at each following visit. Sometimes it will happen after the first visit, so keep bringing it up. And then in conclusion, all four states agreed that this pilot study using the FEMR methodology was very informative and provided them with useful information that could be used to improve systems issues. Having the case review information de-identified also made it a lot easier to discuss systems issues. And states are hopeful that they'll be able to convene the next level, which we didn't talk about in this presentation. But with FEMR, there's a second level called the Community Action Team, which is another group of professionals who are more, they may be policymakers, state health people that could actually help to implement some of these recommendations, and two of our states are already being funded now by ACOG to implement the action phase, and we hope the other two will be able to sign on before long. So we have Colorado and Rhode Island already doing this, and Rhode Island's already had a meeting with OBGYNs and other providers to highlight some of their findings. In a future years, ACOG will create a toolkit for other states to use as a resource to implement their own program. Thank you.